Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we get to the final steps of a long, twisting, winding, wonderful, amazing NFL season, and our next guest been here every step of the way, Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing great. I asked Tiki this question. I want to throw it by you. Let's start here. So, Chiefs-Pats in Week 6, the Rams-Saints in Week 9. Of the four teams, since those moments that I referenced, Week 6 and Week 9, which team has changed the most? And you could go either positively or negatively.
Wow. I'm just inclined to say the Patriots because they just do whatever. Like, they change every week. You know what I mean? They're a finesse team one week. They're a power team the next. They don't blitz at all. They blitz every down. they just continually reinvent themselves. I think if you go back to that point in the season, you know, Sony Michel had not played a whole lot of football for them. He missed games at the beginning of the year. You know, was getting into shape and then was kind of in and out of the lineup for a few weeks. The run game has certainly evolved. You know, at that point, I think people were like, oh, Josh Gordon might become a big part of this team. You know, that never really happened. And now he's gone. I think Gronk and Tom Brady may be a little healthier than they were at certain points around the midpoint of the season and into the end of the season. I guess I'm sort of inclined to go with them. They're so healthy right now. The bye, you know, came obviously at a great time for them. And they're shapeshifters by design.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd go Pats.
You know, Jay, I'm not a big believer in you know, when, and it's kind of a lazy way of explaining success or even failure. Well, you know, a team turned it on and off, and maybe certain players could do that. But collectively, I think it's really tough to do that at this level. However, you know, I do believe there's something to be said for maybe leaving a little something in the creative tank, playing, you know, a bit of a benign brand of football, not divulging too much. Do you think that the Pats straddle that line on purpose where they knew that they could win this division pretty much just by showing up, and now it's money time, and they amp it up a little bit? Do you think that they can actually do that?
I do. I think they do. You know,
man,
we saw them do it with the offensive line gimmick thing they were running on the Ravens a few years ago that totally befuddled them, you know, all the tackle eligibles and all that stuff.
And
eventually they changed the rule. I think they've certainly held trick plays back in the past. And saved them for this time of year. I think they've saved special teams quirks for when, you know, emergency break glass now, like, you know, we're empty in the tank. I absolutely do. I'm sure there's things that they put on tape against the Chiefs, not a lot, but a play or two, just because there's, you know, Belichick and McDaniels and Flores are thinking, okay, they're going to see that alignment. You know what I mean? It's going to look like this play that from Week 6, but we got a completely different, you know, we're doing something completely different out of it. I do think there's no substitute for mind power in this league, and they've got no shortage of it there. Smart players, smart coaches, continuity. They demand a lot out of these players, and they deliver. And I'm sure there's some things they probably haven't worked on a whole lot since the summer that showed up in practice a bunch this week. Now, whether it manifests itself in the game or not, you never quite know because of down distance game situations, whatever. But I don't think that's giving them too much credit. I think there's something to that. Like, I'm looking at Cordarrelle Patterson. I know they're all healthy on offense now. He only touched the ball twice in that first game. I'm betting he touches the ball more than twice in this one.
Yeah, you're probably right. Speaking, you talk about coaches there in preparation, and this is a little bit of an aside from the championship game. What kind of head coach do you think Brian Flores is going to be? Because it seems like that is maybe a done deal down in Miami. Just some stories coming out about him. He grew up here in Brooklyn, probably prep, and then the Boston College, and he's got this intensity about him, and it's like he was groomed for this job. What's he going to be like as a head coach?
You know, I think it's kind of like quarterbacks, man. I think you have to look at the totality of everything around him. And, you know, it takes players, it takes ownership, you know, everybody being in lockstep. And they've had issues with that in Miami really forever. But I think, you know, you look at the GM there, Chris Greer, and him and his dad have strong ties to that Patriots organization going way back to even before Belichick was there. And I think that they will be of one mind and how they approach some things there, probably in ways that they haven't had that synergy between football operations and the coaching staff in the past. I think Stephen Ross can become a good owner. It hasn't manifested itself yet, but I think with the right people, he can be proven to be a pretty good NFL owner. But boy, they got to figure out the quarterback. I mean, if they don't find a quarterback, we're never going to know how good of a coach he is in Miami. Because it's, you know what I mean? It's not, if you can be the best coach in the world in this league, if you're not getting at least above average play out of your quarterback, you don't have a chance. And they're going to have to figure that out, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater and somebody in the draft, whether it's an older guy like Flacco or Foles as a Band-Aid for a year or two to get to maybe a deeper draft class. I'm assuming those are going to be some of the immediate conversations between, you know, the GM and the coach down there once Flores is finished coaching. But I think his demeanor, there's a lot about him that I think portends good things. But nobody's won in Miami. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's won there. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So to Jason Lock and Four, of course, NFL insider, CBS Sports. Jay's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, you got to go all the way back to Don Shula to find the winner down in Miami.
I mean, Saban didn't win there. You know what I mean? And he's in the conversation for the greatest coach ever. Like, just nobody's won there.
You're right. A guy who we do consider a great coach but still has to take a next step is Andy Reid. You know, how important is this game? Home game, they finally cleared that monkey off his back in the divisional round. But home game, weather kind of suits exactly what you would want for a home team. You know, ugly, nasty, et cetera. How important is this for Andy Reid?
You know, I don't think he's going anywhere for a while. He's got a really good young GM there, Brett Veach, who he works very well with. He managed not to lose anybody from his staff. Dave Tobe, his esteemed special teams coach, was interviewed for head coaching jobs in the past. You know, Eric Bieniemy impressed a lot of people, didn't get a job just yet. And he's got Mike Kafka, his quarterback's coach, who I bet you is a head coach this time a year from now. He's keeping all, you know, so he's got all that brain power there. Mahomes is a pup. Even if they lose D Ford in free agency, you know, they're positioned pretty well. I actually think it's less probably mentally and emotionally taxing for him than go back a year ago when they're hosting a very mediocre Titans team that sort of backed in, and they're up 22-10 or whatever it was. I think it was 22-10.
Yeah.
And the kid misses a field goal, and Mariota comes back down, and you know what I mean? And we all know what happened there. And at that point, they knew that Patrick Mahomes was really good. Like, they loved him. Obviously, they were about to make that trade. But, like, I don't think anybody thought he'd be 50 touchdowns good as a rookie. So I think, you know, Andy's not in a bad spot. I think last year was probably with knowing that this is it for Alex Smith and knowing you're about to take this really big gamble and blow out a guy who was an MVP candidate for basically a rookie. I think he's all right. He's going to have other bites at this apple, you know, I think, with this quarterback.
Yeah.
In a way, though, doesn't that make it worse? Because the more bites that he gets if he doesn't actually get to the core, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the old Tootsie Pop there, right?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. Hey, a couple of news items here. Talking to Jason Luck and Four, of course. Cam Shoulder, we know he's banged up.
Yeah.
A little nugget from new ownership here saying
I'm not going crazy with that one. You know, I mean, I think that's a young owner, you know, answering some very hypothetical questions and probably going down a road that a year or two from now, you know what I mean, when he's dealing with the media more, or at least is used to it more, he probably doesn't even entertain those. So I think when you go back and watch the full context of everything, it's basically him addressing a scenario where, well, let's say Cam still can't. Like, no one right now thinks Cam's not going to be able to throw. You know what I mean? At the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of addressed the hype. Well, let's say he can't. Then what do you do? And he's like, well, I know how hard it is to get a quarterback here. So you know what I mean? If we have to put him on ice, we'll put him on ice. But, like, they don't have medicals in that building right now that are, you know what I mean, that are screaming like emergency, you know, this is, you know, dire, his season's in jeopardy. But it is a throwing shoulder, so we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think, you know, the next time that comes around, I don't know that he's as willing to go down that road.
He's got to, you know, listen, there's something to be said for getting reps, not just under center as a quarterback, getting reps in terms of the microphone. I hear you. You got to learn how to take those and answer them in a more of a benign way so you don't create these headlines.
Well, yeah, because now the fan base starts freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, of course.
And he is a good dude, and you know what I mean? You want to be as forthcoming to a point. But when you start dealing in hypotheticals like that that involve medicals, and then people, you know, people just see those quotes, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, as LeVar would say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. You mentioned Flacco before, and I read some good articles this week on CBSSports.com about Brissett. And it's funny, you know, we really haven't thrust his name into the pack of quarterbacks, the Foles and the Flaccos and the Tannehills who could be available as a 1 or 2 year Band-Aid, stopgap, whatever. Brissett, I like him. Tinky likes him. A lot of strong action on the market. How do you think he's viewed?
I think that Chris Ballard is being smart how he's handling this. The Colts general manager. He's played quarterback in this league and he's won games. And even that season, the entire season he played where the team stunk, he acquitted himself fairly well. And there's a lot of smart football people who believe that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I would be more inclined to roll the dice on him than even a Foles just because of the potential upside. Mm. I would rather give up for me, especially if I'm a team like, the team that's going to get Foles is probably Jacksonville. They're not who they think they are. But if they were who I think they were, I'd be going for a younger quarterback like Brissett and starting the reboot now.
Yeah.
I think he'll hold out for – I don't think he'll take less than a high two for him. I know talking to Ballard about Brissett last summer at training camp, he wasn't going to take less than a one for him then. You know, we'll see how these kids look at Pro Day and the Combine and everything else, but he and Bridgewater are the only sort of young options out there already established in the league who are attractive to people. I think they're in a pretty good spot with a trade, and he could also be dealt in season. That he's also the perfect guy who, if, you know, heaven forbid, there's a, you know, the year the Eagles lost, you know, Sam, Bradford trade,
yeah.
Win. You know what I mean? They ended up playing Wentz, and we're going to deal Bradford because Teddy went down. I mean, if something like that happens in OTAs or you know, a contending team loses their quarterback in late summer, you're going to get value for them.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, we only have about a minute here, but Scott Linehan has just been reported as his parting ways with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Anything bigger to this that we should know about?
I mean, this was somebody who really was – he was on coaching life support a couple different times in the regular season. I was hearing rumblings out of that building that the players were eager for change and that Jerry was reaching a point where he was about to say to Jason Garrett what we eventually heard – ownership say to Ron Rivera and ownership say to Dan Quinn, that's your side of the ball, you go coach it. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't good enough.
Wow.
Now, they turned it around late in the season, didn't make it, you know, didn't do anything obviously in season, but there's long been a sentiment there that some new ideas and, you know, some new things need to be brought to the table on offense. And just because Jason Garrett said I want him back means nothing because, as we know, it's Jerry and Stephen Jones who are making, you know, all the real calls in that organization. And I'm guessing during exit interviews with players, they probably heard some things, too, that made them say, you know what, we got to try something different here to bring more out of this group. And they're about to pay all those dudes. You know what I mean? It's not as cute just kind of scratching by once the quarterback's making 25 and once the wide receiver's making 18 and once the running back's making 15. You should be doing more on offense.
Jay, awesome. I know you're not with us on Tops this week, right? But we'll get you on the radio next week, and we'll go from there. We'll see you in Atlanta. Awesome, buddy.
Look forward to it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care, Jason.
Great job, Jay. Great job. Great job all season. Jason Lockenfora.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.